Hello and welcome to the Personal Development School podcast. I'm your host, Thais Gibson, and I create regular podcast episodes to teach you about your relationships, attachment style, and the subconscious mind. My goal of this podcast is to give you tools and awareness you need to thrive in your relationships, feel deeply connected, and find harmony and fulfillment in your relationships and personal life. So I hope you tune in here with me each and every week. Have you ever experienced being in an argument or a conflict with somebody and wanting them so badly to understand why you're hurt or what emotions you're experiencing, only for it to really feel like it's falling on deaf ears or it's shut down, dismissed, or totally misunderstood by that very same person? Well, if this sounds like you and something you often experience, it is quite possible that you're dating an avoidant attachment style. And in today's video, we're going to talk about exactly what that is. And we're also going to talk about why dismissive avoidant attachment styles struggle to acknowledge your pain. And if you stick around till the end, we will cover three really crucial steps that you can take that will help transform the situation once and for all so that you can be better understood, seen, and heard, and have your emotions more effectively acknowledged by your loved one. First and foremost, sometimes after a dismissive avoidant has done something that accidentally hurt a partner or loved one, they may really deflect. And this can look like you bringing to their attention, hey, you know, this experience hurt me or that hurt my feelings. And they may make a joke. They may kind of brush it under the rug or sort of shrug it off and do something that's designed to make light of the situation. Now, from the dismissive avoidant perspective, they're trying to avoid conflict and they're feeling afraid. But this isn't something that's in their own conscious awareness. It's like this sort of subconscious coping mechanism that's automatic and you know, not a premeditated behavior. But on the receiving end, when you go to somebody with something important and they deflect it or shrug it off, it can feel really hurtful and rejecting. And so this is something really important to pay attention to. Pattern number two that a dismissive avoidant might do is avoid the situation altogether. And this can look like you bringing something up over text, them not answering, them just totally texting you back about a completely separate topic later on. Or this could be, you know, sort of avoiding a conversation, changing the subject, and really just having this strong avoidance strategy in that situation. Now, again, that can feel really hurtful, really rejecting, really painful if you're the one on the receiving end of that conversation, especially when you're trying to bring something vulnerable up to somebody else's attention or awareness. As the DA, they often haven't had any healthy communication model to them. So they usually didn't have parents or caregivers that like worked through fights or arguments. They usually didn't have an upbringing where they were taught to negotiate their needs or to validate each other's feelings or to notice how their behavior affects another person. And whenever there's neglect, there's usually an absence of these things being taught in any sort of like real tangible way. And as a result, when a dismissive avoidant is in that state where somebody's bringing something to their attention, it's quite common that somebody who's not working on themselves or doesn't have this awareness about themselves as a DA may just avoid the situation altogether because they're kind of entering into a state of learned helplessness. And what essentially happens is they're like, okay, there's a conflict or there's a problem. I don't know what to do. I'm just going to like pull away from the situation because I'm not sure how to navigate it. And all I know is it makes me feel uncomfortable. And our brain is literally wired to avoid discomfort. And so this can be this sort of like automatic or autopilot coping mechanism the DA has. But again, it can be really painful and challenging to be on the receiving end of that. Because when you go to somebody and you want to open your heart and share something personal or vulnerable, or let somebody know like, hey, I would love for you to see how this situation affects me so we could stop it. It feels like you're kind of helpless in the situation to move the needle, to see any positive changes, to work through something. It can feel really disempowering to the depth of connection of the relationship. Number three, we may see a DA get defensive. And this can be something, again, leaving the same type of impact, the same type of result to relationships. They may get defensive. And usually when somebody's defensive, they're not really present, right? They're not really hearing you. And again, that defensiveness is like, because DAs are modeled emotional neglect, there's this concept, or really it's like a subconscious belief a lot of DAs carry. And it's like, everybody's just responsible for their own feelings and needs. Nobody's responsible for each other. Why do they believe this? Because that was what they were taught by proxy in their experiences growing up, right? Like that was what was modeled to them. And modeling, behavioral modeling, like what we're shown all over and over again, programs us. And especially those programs tend to run a lot deeper in childhood. So sometimes when like, imagine you're a DA, right? And you believe everybody's responsible for their own stuff. And then somebody comes in and says, hey, your stuff is affecting my stuff. It goes against their belief system and it can cause them to feel like flustered or frustrated. They can feel like, hey, why are you putting this on me? That's not mine. That's yours. And it's not. And what their modeling is like a counterdependent or like really independent relationship rather than interdependent. And so to a DA, when somebody says, hey, your stuff's hurting my stuff, it feels like, oh, you're expecting codependency from me. But what they're not noticing is actually, no, I can be responsible for my stuff too, but I wanted to let you know so that we can work on this together. And that's more like healthy interdependent behavior. But often DAs are more on this end of the continuum and they have to have the knowledge and the learning to be able to understand this so that they can move into interdependent waters. And part of that as well is also reprogramming the belief that says everybody's just out for themselves and instead learning that part of like close relationships mean, you know, we're each responsible for our own feelings and our own actions and behaviors, but we can also acknowledge how we could affect somebody else and we can have their back and look out for those things and be mindful of those things in our relationships together with that person that we love or care about. And that's part of like what creates that interdependency long-term. I just wanted to jump in and share something exciting. We are actually, for the first time ever, running a promotion for 60% off of your first month at the Personal Development School. And this gives you access to all of our courses, including all of the courses about different attachment styles and how to navigate those relationships together. So for example, a fearful avoidant with a dismissive avoidant, how to really work through that relationship, all the different challenges, how to show up. We also have courses on boundaries, communication, healing your attachment style to becoming secure, so many different courses in there. But on top of that, I'm in there 3 days a week doing live webinars. So you can come in, ask me any questions that you have at any time, and I will be there to support you. And I'd love to chat with you. And we actually have trained coaches and facilitators who are in there all other days of the week except for Sunday. And there are community support events through them. There are webinars with them, smaller classes. So you have so much extra support in really integrating all of the materials and work in there. And I will say, as excited I am about the YouTube videos that we get to put out every single day, just because of the length of the courses and content, they're so much better than our YouTube content because you can go into so much more depth. There's workbooks, worksheets, and tons of support. So if you want to check it out and actually get 60% off of your first month for only $39 at the Personal Development School, I will put a link to access that down below. Another big one is we will see dismissive avoidance stonewall or ice somebody out when they're in a dynamic where they feel like somebody's bringing something to their awareness. They can feel like, okay, nope, you're making this mine. And they can literally like pull back altogether. They can sort of like shun somebody a little bit. They can shut down completely. Now, a lot of people on the receiving end of that will feel like that's purposeful and it's like a punishing technique. And in my experience working with many, many DA clients over the years in couples counseling and different work with people, what I found the most is that that's not the case. Of course, it can be in very specific situations, but I would say it's probably for a DA like 1% of the time. And there may actually be like other dynamics going on there as well when that does fit the bill for 1%. But oftentimes it's that DAs don't know how to communicate, don't know how to show up and work through things. And so this is just them coping in this situation or experience. By the way, I forgot to mention this earlier, but if you are struggling to like be heard, to get through to somebody, to make your relationship work, to like change gears. Like you feel like you're trying everything, but it's just not clicking. You're not seeing the needle move. I have a really empowering course for this. It's called How to Repair Any Relationship. And it really dials in like on what the best type of relationship will be for who you're working with, right? Like if you have a really challenging relationship with somebody, you may have more separation from that person. And that could be your best version of that relationship. Like, let's say you have a family member who is struggling with a personality disorder and they manipulate you a lot. Like, you may want to have like a little bit of separation for that to be the best quality of the relationship, or that best quality of the relationship, maybe no contact, but it helps you define and understand according to your needs and boundaries, what's right for you based on what that person's willing to put in. And it also helps you go through all of the different dynamics to learn to work through conflict, learn to de-escalate problems and pain points, learn to foster healthier communication, and like really learn to reconnect more deeply, should that be the appropriate and healthy person to do that with, and helps you like define that and understand whether it is or not. And then do the work to like really change gears on the relationship to get it off the rocks and back into like smooth sailing territory. Going back to this, like we'll see that the DA will just stonewall somebody, like ice somebody out, like really avoid. And most of the time it's not to be punishing. It's not to be mean. It's to protect themselves because, again, they feel this sense of like learned helplessness. They feel afraid and they often feel really disempowered in relationships and communication. And it can really keep them stuck, and it can keep them in a position where it's like, okay, well, I don't know what to do from here. So it's better to just push away the thing that's causing me pain. And last but not least, another unhealthy pattern of communication for the DA will be to blame the other person, or like the other person's behaviors or insecurities or fears. This can be one of the most painful ones because it's like, it feels like things are being shifted back around on you when often you're trying to like be approach oriented and resolve for something. DAs much more rarely do this. They tend to do this when a relationship is like really on the rocks. And unfortunately, one of the big sponsoring causes for why dismissive avoidants do this is because they don't know how to communicate the fact that they don't feel like their needs are being met. And they haven't learned how to like articulate their needs, share their needs, feel comfortable being vulnerable around their needs. And so they will feel a sense of a chip on their shoulder too for different things. And then when somebody comes to them and says, hey, this is what's going on for me, rather than them being like, hey, I also feel like I don't have needs met. I also feel like I have things that are going on for me. They don't even necessarily consciously realize that. And so the way they acknowledge the problem in the relationship will be to sort of put the onus back on the other person as well. And it can just feel like you're at such a standstill in that case or situation. So if you are a DA, and you listen to this, I hope that this helped you really uncover like maybe what's going on for you beneath the surface if any of these patterns of behavior come up. I also hope you can have compassion to yourself in understanding that like you didn't really get good modeling growing up. You didn't really get a lot of healthy behaviors shown to you. So no wonder you feel stuck or helpless or have unhealthy coping mechanisms. But I also hope you can see with compassion to yourself how your behaviors can really affect other people and feel bad, especially when in healthy interdependent relationships. People are naturally hoping to have this like collaboration in looking out for each other and taking care of each other's feelings and needs. And also, if you're on the receiving end of this as the partner of a DA, something that's so important to be able to do is to ask this person to tell the dismissive avoidant, hey, I am not trying to make you feel bad. I'm not trying to give you a hard time. I'm trying to share with you something about me and an experience that I'm having so that we can work through this together. And if you position it that way, and then the very next step that you take is to healthily communicate your needs in the positive, as opposed to in criticism, it's so much more likely to be better received by a DA. So like, if you need the DA to take a turn doing chores, don't say, you never do the chores, I feel really frustrated about it. Say, I would love for you to do the laundry on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Like, give something really specific, give an expression of a need and a positive, let them know you come in peace. You know, I'm not here to cause a problem. I'm here to share with you something that's important to me that will help me feel understood and seen. And at the end of that conversation, turn around and encourage the dismissive avoidant to do the same. Say, hey, if you have a need from me, I want to know and I want to understand about it too. And I know that's how we are going to have each other's back and grow together in our relationship. But we both need to have that open chain of communication or line of communication with one another.